Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you with studies in the second epistle of Peter. We've been following through the first chapter for the past few broadcasts, and I'm sure that the more you read this book, the more you'll get out of it. And remember again that this epistle is the Apostle Peter warning the believers concerning false teachers who have come among God's people and opposing the gospel of his wonderful grace. In the first chapter, we've been having Peter asking God's people to be diligent in the study of the Word of God because it's God's Word and it's forever settled in heaven. Now, when we come to chapter 2, we have the opposition to the truth, and this opposition to the truth is from false teachers. Now, I would like to read the first two or three verses, especially the first three verses. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation, their judgment slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to Tartarus, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and spared not the old world, and turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and so on. Do you think God's going to spare these false teachers? Now, this is what Peter is going to be discussing. He's going to talk about the description of these false teachers in chapter 2. He's going to speak about their ungodly life, and he's going to speak about the certainty of their judgment. And here we have in this first verse, or in this chapter, should I say, a contrast. In chapter 1, we have holy men of old who are moved along by the Spirit of God. Spirit of God had control of these men in Old Testament times, these prophets who wrote the Scriptures. But these false teachers, they come in denying the person of Christ and the work of Christ, and they are the source of the poison that is so manifest in our day, especially in our day. And we're warned about these. You can't read your New Testament without being warned about false teachers. Even in your Old Testament, you take, for example, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and may I add Isaiah. These men warned the people of God concerning the false shepherds who would come in not sparing the flock. They would come in trafficking in souls. They would be false to God and false to his people. They were those who were secular and yet made great profession of God. In fact, the Lord said, I hate your sacrifices. I've got no use for your sacrifices. Why? Because they were empty. With their words, they praised God, and their lives were far from him. False teachers. May I remind you of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15? The Apostle Paul is warning the Corinthian church that these who had come into the Corinthian church and who were opposed to the Apostle Paul and were turning the Corinthians against the Apostle Paul, he comes out very boldly and says these are false teachers, and they would come to deceive. They would come as ministers of righteousness for one purpose, to deceive God's people, to oppose the truth of God. They're like their father, Satan, the devil, the adversary, who was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And he said, marvel not, don't you marvel about this, because Satan himself is transforming himself into an angel of light. For what purpose? To deceive the people of God. And my friends, today, you and I can't look out upon the present scene in America and not realize the false teachers who are all around about us. I can't understand or sympathize with men when you talk about the Savior to them. They say, well, who in the world am I going to believe? This fellow says one thing Another fellow says another thing. This church says this, and that church says that. What can a poor fellow believe? Well, a poor fellow can believe the Bible. And if you mean business with God, God means business with you. You don't have to be set. You don't have to be deceived by false teachers. As Paul says, we are to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. How can I prove all things except, again I come back to it, except by the word of God? This is the revelation God has given to us. Now, I say both Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah and Zechariah, these others, Old Testament prophets, warned about the false teachers who come in to fleece the flock of God, to deceive. I mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And you remember in the book of Acts chapter 20, about verse 29, where the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Ephesian believers, said this, "After my departure, there will come among you, there will rise up among you, grievous wolves, not sparing the flock. Among your own selves shall men arise." That's why in the book of Jude, verse 11, they've gone the way of Cain, salvation by works. They've followed after the error of Balaam for reward. They've commercialized divine things. And they've gone, followed the gainsaying of Korah, despising the authority of the word of God. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, about verse 7, we have the same thing where the wrath of God, the judgment of God is going to come upon men. Why? Because they believe not the truth and because they love not the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the first verse I read, there were false. In the last days there shall come those, there shall be a departing from the faith, an apostasy, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. In the first epistle of John chapter 2, John warns the babes in Christ from verse 18 on concerning the spirit of Antichrist, which is already manifested in the church. Likewise in the fourth chapter of the same book of the epistle of John, the first six verses, you've got in by way of contrast, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist is that those who deny that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And I've already mentioned the book of Jude. And so one could go through the epistles, all of them warning God's people about false teachers. And where do you find them? You find them among God's people. You find them in the churches. Some of them are in the place of leadership. They deny the incarnate word of God. They deny the deity of our Savior. They deny the precious work of Christ on the cross. They're traitors. They're creepers. As Jude says, they've crept in unawares. Now, having made this statement concerning these portions of Scripture, let us go to the second chapter. And in the first verse of this chapter, you have the nature of their teaching. They're going to bring out, they're going to bring in destructive heresies. Let me read it. There were false prophets also among the people. That is in the Old Testament. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall privately bring in destructible heresies. And what are the destructible heresies? They deny the master, the despoter, the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And because of what they do, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now, these are self-chosen teachers, and they come into the midst of God's people, and they're creepers, as Jude says. I remember some years ago, a friend of mine went to hear a certain man in Chicago, pastor of quite a large church. He had gone to school with this man. And after the morning meeting, he went up to me and said, I was amazed at what you said this morning. I didn't know you believed those things that you said. He had preached the gospel, by the way, or at least he had said some things that were evangelical in content. Oh, laughingly, he said, every once in a while I have to give an evangelical message because there are people here who are evangelicals. I don't believe a word of it. And then, for every evangelical message I give, I may give 4 or 5 sermons on things that I personally believe, which is certainly not evangelical. We've gone beyond that stage. We're wiser now than Paul was, or Peter was, and what was just a revelation to Peter and the disciples is just nothing else but folklore to us. And to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to put away our sins, and to believe that he was raised again from the dead, why, we don't believe such things. Now, this man's a pastor of a large church. Listen to what Peter says. Just as there were false prophets among the people in the olden times, so there are false teachers among you, you believers. And they shall bring in damnable heresies, destructible heresies, denying even the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. And let me just stop here for a moment. They deny two things. First of all, they deny the person of Christ. Now, the word here is a rather remarkable word. The word in the Greek here is despota, from which we get our word master or despot. It's a word which means one in absolute authority. This word, by the way, would be in contrast to doulos, which means a slave, a master and a slave. Now, in the book of Jude, I read in the beginning of that chapter that these false teachers deny the Lord Jesus Christ as the only master. They deny the only master, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, they deny not only his person, but they deny his work. They deny that the work on the cross is sufficient to cleanse men from sin. They deny the master that bought them. In fact, I want to be very clear on this and very blunt. You know, today, for one to believe that Jesus Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth, was God manifest in the flesh, for you to believe that, you're looked upon as somebody whose mind isn't right, or you're an ignoramus, or you're a back number, you're living in the dark ages. And if you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth you from all sin, why, mister, there's something wrong with your head. This is what they teach. And they're very bold about it. This is not in the world. This is in the professing church. They deny the deity, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the work which he accomplished on the cross and in resurrection. Now, you can know, my friend, you can know whether your pastor is a false teacher or not. You don't have to know all about the false doctrines. Just measure them up to the person and work of Christ. What place do they give Jesus Christ? What do they believe about his work at the cross? What do they believe about his death and resurrection and his exaltation? That's all I have to know. I say I don't have to know all their doctrine, but I have to find out where do they stand concerning the person of Christ. Or as 1 John chapter 4 says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's the deity of Christ. And when you take that, my friend, then you've got to answer the question, why did he die? If he's God manifest in the flesh, how could he die? He died because he bore your sin and my sin. He was the sinless one, dying in your room, in your stead, my room, my stead. As dear Paul could say, who loved me and gave himself for me. But mark the end of the verse. The verse doesn't end very nice when it says, and they shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. Their doom is prophesied. Swift destruction. And by denying the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, by denying the value of his work at the cross, their doom is going to be swift and it's going to be sure. You know, sometimes I wonder, I'm not going to be dogmatic on this, but sometimes I'm wondering if we are not living in that generation who shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. You remember in the book of Thessalonians chapter 5, when they're going to say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a woman, as travail upon a woman with child. When they think they're safe, that's when God is going to come in his judgment. And if the Church of Christ were to be taken from the earth right now, and I've got no right to say it will not take place today, the Lord may come today for us who love him. Immediately, you're going to have God dealing with the nations and dealing with these false teachers, these false shepherds, these false pastors who have led the sheep astray, who have not fed the lambs, the people of God, but have fed them poison. Oh, I tell you, when I think of the thousands of young people who have been poisoned, absolutely poisoned, by the preaching and the teaching of false teachers who go under the name of Christian. It may be, my friend, that in your church, prove all things. Let us be like the early Bereans when Paul came with the message of a suffering Savior. They searched the Scriptures to see if Paul was telling the truth. Would it not be a wonderful thing if we, whenever we heard a man preach or teach, take our Bibles and go home and read them to see if what you have heard is the truth? Because sometimes these false teachers come as instruments of righteousness, as ministers of righteousness. Satan doesn't come with a forked tail and horns. He comes as an angel of light to deceive. As Jude says, they crept in unawares. You find them in your love feasts. You find them at the Lord's table. You find them in your churches. You find them in your meetings. And they're there for one purpose, to deceive the very people of God. Again, may I come back to it? Oh, you who trust the Savior, stay in the Word of God. Fall in love with Christ. Find out all you can about the Savior. And the only way to do that is to stay in the Word of God. And remember, he said, he that shall come, and will not tarry. And if I am living in the day of these false prophets and false teachers, I read they shall bring upon themselves swift destruction. It may be today. Oh, friend, do you know the Savior? Are you trusting him as your Lord and Savior? Remember, if you're indifferent to him, if you reject him, there's only one thing left, and that's judgment. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In great love and mercy, he made provision for you to come into his presence righteous. Why don't you accept him? And believer in Christ, get into that book, will you? Read it and reread it, and may the Spirit of God reveal our Savior to you in a more and more wonderful way. And the Lord bless you.